So I've learned long ago that I try to ignore pending legislation because every time I proactively plan for it, they take a sharp left turn and do something completely different. And so I'm talking to clients about it. We're talking about the fact that the rules may very likely be changing soon, but we haven't changed anything yet.
Okay, good. I'm not committing malpractice if Mickey's not doing it.
Steve made an interesting point. There's a lot of people out there who have been giving substantial amounts to charity, and all of a sudden, you know, they sell their houses, they go into a senior living facility, and they're using the standard deduction, so they can't use their charitable deduction anymore. So the easy thing to do is for them to put the principal that's going to generate the income into a non-grantor trust, and then have the trust give the income each year to a charity, because the trust can offset 100% of its income with its charitable deduction. So for people who aren't exposed to estate tax, you know, put the income-producing asset into a trust, and that way you'll get the full benefit of the charitable deduction.
Sidestep the $10,000 restriction.
Yes. Let's talk about the DSUE election. With respect to the ability to, in effect, bequeath the first deceased spouse's unused exemption to the surviving spouse. And there's a lot of questions here. Is this something that you ever discuss, well, I'm assuming with wealthy couple, at the time of estate planning? Or is this something you're drafting wills and trust for the husband or wife? Or is this something that's put off until sometime in the future? What do you do?
Well, we talk about it with our clients, and especially in the new traditional family, which means it isn't the first marriage for these two clients. If we have a second marriage situation in particular, but generally we do talk about the DSUE amount in general terms. If we do have a blended family, and especially when the wife says, well, my daughter's going to be the executor of my estate, and the husband says, well, that's great, my daughter's going to be the executor of my estate, you know, we set up this situation where you may have a possible conflict. We do like to add language in the documents that say, here's what happens, here's how this DSUE issue is going to be dealt with. And we'll talk about some specifics of how we do that going on, but I think it's important to talk about it. You know, we've always talked about, well, here's why you need a bypass trust. Well, and now the answer is, yeah, maybe you don't need a bypass trust. Let's talk about portability and how that works.
And do your clients understand it? I'm teaching some relatively, same with Jerry, some relatively bright 2 L's and 3 L's at the law school, and they've got a fairly sophisticated education. It takes a while for them to get an understanding. They understand the exemption part of all of this, but they bypass trust. What if he does not need bypass surgery? That's the kind of issues that we talk about. And so what's your measuring stick for measuring clients' S-apostrophe comprehension?
Well, Melissa's clients understand it really well, but that's just because she explains it a lot better than I do. It's a admittedly difficult concept, and our estate planning meetings are longer than they used to be as we talk about a lot of these issues. But the notion that you each have an $11 million exemption and you can give that exemption to your spouse, they pretty much get that. And the fact that to get that exemption, we're going to have to file perhaps an otherwise completely unnecessary estate tax return, which is going to cost a fair amount of money. I mean, they're not cheap. They get that.
You give them an estimate as to, quote, the fair amount of money, close quote?
No. Well, so I give them the lawyer's answer, which is?
It depends.
It depends. Exactly right. or if I give them an honest lawyer's answer, it's going to be more than we thought.
I think one of the biggest issues with the DSUE amount that should be addressed in everybody's plan, I think we authorize it in all our wills to use the DSUE amount. The biggest question is, who is going to pay for it? If you're going to file this non-mandatory return, you need to specify who's going to pay for it, and you probably need to pick a default, but that's the most important thing, right? Mm-hmm. You've got rich spouse and poor spouse. And it doesn't benefit poor spouse to file this return or their estate. It benefits rich spouse. But who's the executor who has to file that return? Well, it's the kid of poor spouse who's filing the return, right? So,
The answer to that question may be different on depending upon whether an estate tax return is going to be required anyway,
right?
Or we're filing it only for portability purposes. But when you talk about who's going to bear the cost, don't just think about the cost of filing the federal estate tax return. There is such a thing as state portability. Hawaii, and I think one other state, I think, I can't remember what it is, Connecticut is talking about it. So there may be state portability issues. And not only the cost of the return, what about the cost of the audit of the return? So you need to be thinking about sort of a broad definition of who bears the cost. If the executor filed the return, there's no tax due anyway. It's a return only for portability purposes, and it gets audited. Shouldn't the surviving spouse have some ability to participate in how that audit is settled? Because no skin off the executor's teeth, right, if they concede to some outrageous stance by the IRS.